हरे कृष्ण जय नृसिंह रे भगवान की जय. सो ऑन दिस ऑस्पिशियस डे प्रेयर्स ऑफ लॉर्ड नृसिंह रे वी विल बिगिन बाय जस्ट रिकाउंटिंग अ लिटिल बिट द बैक स्टोरी इफ यू वुड द प्रीलूड टू द लॉर्ड्स अपीयरेंस. Then we will read chapter 8 of the 7th canto, which describes the actual appearance of the Lord. And then we will end with one verse, one prayer from Prahlad Maharaj that we can meditate on today. So most of you know, almost everybody here is already on the path of Krishna consciousness, if not all of you, that the four Kumaras, out of curiosity, went to the spiritual world. They had that ability because of their great austerity. They were able to go to Vaikuntha. And there they were stopped by the gatekeepers of the Lord, Jai and Bijai, who are here constantly looking over us. And they refused them entrance. So the four Kumaras decided to curse them, and they were unfit to be in the spiritual world. And as a result of that curse, they had a choice of coming to the material world, 3 births as demons or 7 births as devotees. They selected to come 3 births as demons. So the first birth was Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Now this Hiranyakashipu, interestingly in that pastime, Prabhupada said, although Hiranyaksha was born first, by the Vedic conception he was considered to be the younger brother. Because the one that's injected in the womb first comes out last. So Hiranyakashipu came out last, so he was considered the elder brother. And his younger brother, Hiranyaksha, was a great demon, as you know. Roamed all over the universe trying to fight the demigods. He was fond of drinking blood, and he was very fond of gold. And because of taking all the gold from the earth, it fell into the Garbha ocean, and therefore there was great distress amongst the demigods, and they prayed for the appearance of the Lord. And the Lord appeared as Varaha. And a great fight ensued. Hiranyaksha insulted him to the max, which is the way demons operate. They like to insult everyone, each other. But if you even think of insulting them, they want to kill you. Isn't it? I always use that as an example when I'm speaking to students, that this material world is such a terrible place that even a subtle action can get you in trouble. You look at somebody the wrong way. I grew up in New York, and it's constantly you hear that. You're looking at me? Why are you looking at me like that? You want to fight? Just a look, a glance can get you in trouble. That's the nature of this material world. So the demons like to insult, and Hiranyaksha insulted Lord Varaha. And Lord Varaha responded, and this is a verse that somewhere or other just stuck in my head. He said, Satyam vayam bho vana gochara mriga yusmad vridhan mrigaye gramya singham namrityupashaya pratimuktasya virya vikatanam tabagrinantya bhadra. He said, indeed, we, speaking of himself, we are creatures of the jungle, and we are searching after hunting dogs like you. Those who are free from the clutches of death have no fear from the loose talk in which you're indulging, because you're bound up by the laws of death. So this is a distinction between the Lord and his pure devotees, and the non-devotees or demons. The pure devotees, just as the Lord, they're not bound up by the laws of death. So they're not afraid of anything in this material world. And whereas the demons, because they're still, in spite of the fact that they think themselves to be so great, they're still bound up by the laws of death, and therefore they're always fearful. So this Hiranyaksha, Lord Varaha killed him, and because of that, his elder brother Hiranyakashipu always had this animosity towards Lord Vishnu. He vowed that he was going to kill Lord Vishnu because he killed my younger brother. So now, by the Lord's arrangement, the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj appears in the family of this Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, he decided, if I'm going to kill Lord Vishnu, if I'm going to be the dominant force in this material world, I have to perform austerities. So we know he performed severe austerities. He can't even think about doing what he did. None of us can stand on tippy toe for more than a few seconds. He stood on his tippy toe for thousands of years, and to the point not even moving an inch, a fraction of an inch, that the ants, termites, had built a mound around him, and they ate all his flesh and his muscles and everything was gone except for just the bone. But he was such a great yogi that he was able to maintain his life years in that situation. And because of that, he gained such power that fire was emanating from that ant mound, and it was scorching the universe, and the demigods again went to Lord Brahma what to do. So Lord Brahma came and sprinkled him with water from his kumandalu, and he gained a really powerful body and beautiful body. And Brahma said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to become immortal." Lord Brahma said, "I can't give you that benediction because even I am not immortal." But by his intelligence, he asked for so many benedictions that I cannot be killed in the day or in the night, and on the land, in the sky, in the water, by man or animal, by so many benedictions. Lord Brahma kept saying yes, yes, yes. So now he thought he was immortal. And he began a reign of terror. He began a reign of terror. He terrorized the entire universe, drove the demigods out of their homes, the heavenly planets, and he made a hellish situation for all living entities in the universe, declaring himself to be in charge. Only Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva were not subjugated by him. Everybody else, all the other demigods, all other living entities were subjugated by this Hiranyakashipu. Reign of terror. So the Brahmanas, being unable to perform sacrifice, it is stated in the Shastra, they were fervently cursing him. This morning somebody asked me, "If I curse somebody on this day, Lord Nrisimha's appearance day, will it have special potency?" So I reminded this devotee that Lord Chaitanya said, we don't curse anybody in this age, because everybody in this age is fallen. If you're going to curse, you're going to have to curse everybody. We pray that they all become devotees. That's what we do in this age. We don't curse anybody. But this devotee wants to curse somebody. I don't know why. But the Brahmanas, because they could not perform sacrifice, they were fervently cursing this Hiranyakashipu. Meanwhile, the great devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared in his family. And by the by, as time went by, he sent him to school. The school was run by the two demoniac sons of Shukracharya, Shanda and Amarka. And they tried to teach him all the nice subjects that the demon's supposed to learn. Diplomacy and this and that. But Prahlad, being a pure devotee, from before birth, because he was instructed by Narad Muni when he was on the moon. So he was not interested, and he was simply trying to teach the other boys devotional service. So at one point, Hiranyakashipu called for his son and asked him, "My dear Prahlad, what have you learned in school?" And Prahlad said, "Tatsadu manye suryabhaya deyinam sadasa mudbigna diyam asagrihat. Hitvatam patam kriyamana kupam parambajat yat harim ashayeta." Tatsadumane, in the opinion of the great souls, Asuryavarya, he didn't call him, probably made this point repeatedly, he didn't call him father. He called him Asuryavarya, O best of the demons. Sarasamud bhinga diyama satkriya, because you have accepted this body, this temporary body as yourself, then you're always in anxiety. This is a source of your anxiety. And we can also look at ourselves when we're feeling anxious. Generally, this is the root cause. I'm still thinking that I am this material body, and this material body has obviously so many problems. And we cannot ever know exactly what to do to solve those problems. There's no material solution. And if you ask anybody, they'll give you different opinions. I grew up in New York City, and I had friends from different, ethnic, racial backgrounds. And amongst the Greeks, there's a saying, if you put two Greeks in a room, you'll get at least three opinions. In other words, they can't agree about anything. And this is generally the case in the material world. Recently, a week ago from Thursday, I went to the doctor. Blood pressure is very high, 179 over 90. So he said, "You have to take blood pressure medication." I've been avoiding it for years because I know there's bad side effects. I've always tried to control it with natural means. But anyway, this time I agreed because I have a surgery coming up, and he said, if you don't control your blood pressure, no surgery. So I went to CVS Pharmacy. I got the blood pressure medicine. I asked the pharmacist, they always like to talk to you before you leave. And she said, nice Asian lady, she said, "Take this pill, just one a day, just before you take rest. Because if there's any side effects, you won't notice it so much while you're sleeping." So then a week later, I go back to the doctor, and he takes the blood pressure again. It's 156 over 85. He said, "It's going down, but it's still too high. Are you taking the medication?" "Yes." I said, the pharmacist told me, take it just before bed, and I'm doing that. He said, no. He said, no, she's wrong. Your blood pressure naturally goes down at night. Anyway, I want you to take it first thing when you wake up in the morning. So you can't get any agreement between the doctor and the pharmacist, between this person, that person. Nobody agrees with anybody in this mature world. So Prahlad Maharaj told him, because you've accepted this material body as yourself, you're always in anxiety. So you should give up this attachment to home, go to the forest, Paramvrajit, Yad Hari Mahashrayetsa, and take shelter of Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu Hari. So this incensed Hiranyakashipu, because of course he declared himself to be the eternal enemy of Lord Vishnu. He wants to kill him. So he called for the teachers and said, what are you teaching my sons? Oh, it's not us. It's not us. We never taught him. We never taught him anything like that. We don't know where he got it from. So Hiranyakashipu said, well, take him back and this time instruct him properly. So took him back to school. They couldn't change it. Prahlad, being a pure devotee of the Lord, his only mission is to spread Krishna consciousness. So he kept preaching to the sons of the demons, telling them that Komara Machet Pragyo Dharma Bhagavatami Dulabam Manasab Jama Tadapya Dhruvam Artadam. Even though this material body is temporary, this human material body is temporary like any other body, still the great benefit is that you can learn Bhagavad Dharma as a human being. Generally, the animals can't. Anyway, Lord Hiranyakashipu called for his son again and asked him again, what is the best thing you've learned in school this time? This time around, Prahlad said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Satyam Amanavenam Iti Pungsarpata Vishnu Bhaktisten Navalakshana Kriyata Bhagavatyada Tanmanyeditam Uttamam. He said, these nine processes of devotion and services, hearing, chanting, etc., it's the best thing that anyone can do. However, if you can do all nine, if you just do even one of them, I consider you to be the most intelligent person. So this is intelligence, engaging in devotional service. Sometimes there's argument about who's intelligent, who's not intelligent. This is a sign of intelligence, Prahlad Maharaj says, right? When you engage in devotional service. So this time around, Hiranyakashipu was incensed, too mad. He said, I am going to have to kill this boy. So he engaged his servants, followers, to try to kill Prahlad. They tried so many ways, they could not kill him. So now Hiranyakashipu is getting very worried. Prabhupada said in one lecture that if you're the biggest demon that ever lived, you're controlling the universe, but your own son is not afraid of you. The demigods are afraid of you, but your own five-year-old boy is not afraid of you. This is not good for business. So he decided, I am going to have to kill this boy myself. So this is where we pick up now. We're in the eighth chapter of the seventh canto. And I'm going to read the chapter summary, and then we'll read the verses until Lord Nrisimhadeva appears. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu was ready to kill his own son, Prahlad Maharaj. But the Supreme Personality of God had appeared in front of the demon of Sri Nakeshari, half lion and half man, and killed him. Following the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, all the sons of the demons became attached to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this attachment became pronounced, their teachers, Shanda and Amarka, were very much afraid that the boys would become more and more devoted to the Lord. In a helpless condition, they approached Hiranyakashipu and described in detail the effect of Prahlad's preaching. After hearing of this, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his son Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was so angry that Prahlad Maharaj fell down at his feet and said many things just to pacify him, but he was unsuccessful in satisfying his demoniac father. Hiranyakashipu, as a typical demon, began to advertise himself as being greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prahlad Maharaj challenged him, saying that Hiranyakashipu was not God, and began to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declaring that the Lord is all-pervading, that everything is under him, and that no one is equal to or greater than him. Thus he requested his father to be submissive to the omnipotent Supreme Lord. The more Prahlad Maharaj glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more angry and agitated the demon became. Hiranyakashipu asked his Vaishava son whether his god existed within the columns of the palace. And Prahlad Maharaj immediately accepted that since the Lord is present everywhere, he was also present within the columns. When Hiranyakashipu heard this philosophy from his young son, he derided the boy's statement as just the talk of a child and forcefully struck the pillar with his fist. As soon as Hiranyakashipu struck the column, there issued forth a tumultuous sound. At first, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, could not see anything but the pillar. But to substantiate Prahlad's statements, the Lord came out of the pillar in his wonderful incarnation as Narasimha, a half lion and half man. Hiranyakashipu could immediately understand that the extraordinarily wonderful form of the Lord was surely meant for his death, and thus he prepared to fight with the form of half lion and half man. The Lord performed his pastimes by fighting with the demon for some time, and in the evening, on the border between day and night, the Lord captured the demon, threw him on his lap, and killed him by piercing his abdomen with his nails. The Lord not only killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, but also killed many of his followers. When there was no one else to fight, the Lord, roaring with anger, sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. The entire universe was thus relieved of the rule of Hiranyakashipu, and everyone was jubilant in transcendental bliss. Then all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, approached the Lord. These included the great saintly persons, the Pitas, the Siddhas, the Vidyadharas, the Nagas, the Manus, the Prajapatis, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the Kimpurushas, the Vaitalikas, the Kinnaras, and also many other varieties of beings in human form. All of them stood not far from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and began offering their prayers unto the Lord, whose spiritual effulgence was brilliant as he sat on the throne. So the Lord fulfilled his promise. In a previous chapter, when the demigods were so aggrieved and they approached Lord Brahma, the Lord instructed him that he was going to come. He said, Kedadeveshu Vedeshu, Goshu Viprushu Sadushu, Dharme Mahi Sabidvesha, Ya Sa, how's that last line go? Ya Sa Ashu Vinashati. The Lord said, Kedadeveshu, when anyone becomes envious of these following personalities. Yada Deveshu, the Devatas, demigods. Vedishu, the Vedas. Goshu, the cows. Vipreshu, the Brahmanas. Sadushu, the devotees. Dharma, Dharma, the process of Dharma. Mai, and me. Shavishvesha. Yasa Ashuvinai. Very quickly, that personality and his so-called civilization will be destroyed. So this is the Lord's promise, and then he appeared to fulfill that promise. So we're going to just read the translations. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Chanda and Amarka. When Chanda and Amarka, the sons of Shukracharya, observed that all the students, the sons of the demons, were becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness because of the association of Prahlad Maharaj, they were afraid. They approached the king of the demons and described the situation as it was. When Hiranyakashipu understood the entire situation, he was extremely angry, so much so that his body trembled. Thus, he finally decided to kill his son Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was by nature very cruel, and feeling insulted, he began hissing like a snake trampled upon by someone's foot. His son Prahlad was peaceful, mild, and gentle. His senses were under control, and he stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. According to Prahlad's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised. Yet, with staring, crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him with the following harsh words. You're in the wrong chapter. It's 7-8. Remember I told you? This is the last verse that we're going to read, the prayer of Prahlad. No, canto 7, chapter 8. Now we're up to text number 5. If you go back to contents, it's already highlighted. That's what we had on the screen to start with. No, we'll go to contents. Yeah, there you go. Just double click on that. And then we'll scroll down to chapter to text number 5. All right. Yeah, there you go. Now we're just going to read the translation. There, okay. Hiranyakashipu said, "O most impudent, most unintelligent disruptor of the family, O lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj. My son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. By whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you?" Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear king, the source of my strength of which you are asking is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He's not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength. Whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior, everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Controller and Time Factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital force of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of material nature. By his own power, he creates this cosmic manifestation, maintains it, and annihilates it also." Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoised toward everyone. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy within this world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshiping the Lord perfectly. In former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies that steal away the wealth of the body. These fools were very proud, thinking, quote, 'I have conquered all enemies in all the 10 directions,' end of quote. But if a person is victorious over the six enemies and is equipoised toward all living entities, for him, there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance." Hiranyakashipu replied, "You rascal, you are trying to minimize my value as if you were better than me at controlling the senses. This is over-intelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands, for this kind of nonsensical talk is indulgent by those about to die. O most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me, a supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, who is all-pervading. But where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar? Because you are speaking so much nonsense, I shall now sever your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipable God come to protect you. I want to see it." So this is how demoniac these personalities are. On the one hand, he thought Hiranyaksha was his brother and he wanted to avenge his death. But his own son, Prahlad, because he's a devotee, he wants to kill him. You see? Why not see him as a family member also? This is the demoniac mentality. Next verse. Being obsessed with anger, Hiranyakashipu, who was very great in bodily strength, thus chastised his exalted devotee son Prahlad with harsh words. Cursing him again and again, Hiranyakashipu took up his sword, got up from his royal throne, and with great anger struck his fist against the column. Then, from within the pillar came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. Oh, my dear Yudhishthir, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods like Lord Brahma. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, "Oh, now our planets are being destroyed." While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakashipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful, tumultuous sound which had never before been heard. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus, the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. While Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained to be either a man or a lion, emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, "What is this creature that is half man and half lion?" Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Nrisingadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold, his shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shells, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, quote, "Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me?" Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. Just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly, during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by his spiritual effulgence. Thereafter, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, swiftly attacked Nrisingadev with his club and began to beat him. Lord Nrisingadev, however, captured the great demon along with his club, just as Garuda might capture a great snake. O Yudhishthir, O great son of Bharata, when Lord Nrisingadev gave Hiranyakashipu a chance to slip from his hand, just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it slip from his mouth, the demigods who had lost their abodes and who were hiding behind the clouds for fear of the demon did not consider that incident very good. Indeed, they were perturbed. When Hiranyakashipu was freed from the hands of Nrisingadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attacked the Lord with great force. Making a loud, shrill sound of laughter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, who was extremely strong and powerful, captured Hiranyakashipu, who was protecting himself with his sword and shield, leaving no gaps open. With the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakashipu moved, sometimes in the sky and sometimes on the earth, his eyes closed because of fear of Nrisingadev's laughter. As a snake captures a mouse or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nrisingadev captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here, there, and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nrisingadev placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs, and in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. Lord Nrisingadev ki jai. Lord Nrisingadev's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood, and his fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrisingadev, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that has just killed an elephant. Lord Nrisingadev ki jai. So, As we know, the appearance day of Lord Nrisinghadev is the disappearance day of Hiranyakashipu. So Prahlad Maharaj then, as we know, offered prayers to the Lord, and we're going to just recite one of those prayers, which we would suggest that we all meditate on today. So we go back to that 7:10:7. We can recite together. Bring the verse up. So let's recite the Sanskrit together, and then we'll read the English. Yadi dasya sime kaman varangstang varadarshabha kamanam hridya sangroham bhavatastu vrinevaram. Srila Prabhupada's translation. O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desire. So, read it together. Read it together. Put it back. Yeah, there you go. O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Because material desires are what keep us in this material world. So we have to come to the point where we are without material desires. This is nishkarma. There's karma, activities based on our desires that just keep giving us more material bodies. There's akarma, activities that don't produce any karma. There's nishkarma, activities that result in elevation to the transcendental platform. So as devotees, that's what we're supposed to engage in, nice karmic activities. And on this day, we can bow down before Lord Nrisinghadev and pray to him for this benediction, that you're the best giver of benedictions, and I ask only one benediction, that from within the core of my heart, there be no more material desires. Lord Nrisinghadev, ki jai. Or Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mm-hmm.